This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. They've gathered all the nonsense from around the world to mock it. This is The Nate Darling Show.
You guys were excellent today.
Hey, thanks a lot. We'll see you inside.
Now, here's Nate and the gang.
All right, back again this week for shows. And this time, all of the recording equipment has been double and triple checked to make sure the show will be recorded in such a way that you can enjoy it. Unlike last week when Jason and I came in and recorded all three shows, and then they were not listenable. So, sorry about that. Yeah, well, it happens. Happens once every 420 some odd shows. It'll happen. Joining me this week, Becca Costello is back. Hello, Becca.
Hello.
In the studio. Kareem is also back. Kareem was not well last week, so.
Glad to be back.
Glad you're back. Jason, I guess on his way? There's a dirty rumor that he's out in the other room. I hear a dog barking, a tiny dog bark, so.
So wait a second. Last week it was just the two of you.
Yes.
The tapes were erased, and now he's not here?
Mm-hmm. He's been deleted.
Conspiracy theorists are going to run wild with this.
Delete! Delete! Delete!
Maybe he came in a dilapidated boat.
That's the first place I would check.
Did not make it.
We didn't get enough water to get him here.
Well, you get across the river. So, coming up on the show today... By the way, no cursing, Becca. Lamar Odom walks out on an intervention. Speaking of an intervention, Jason has arrived in
the
studio.
He's back! Our conspiracy theories are laid to rest before we even got started.
There was no final deletion of Jason. Also, we're going to talk about a tall man problem that ended up being a police issue.
Oops.
And a duck went missing.
No!
Yes, we'll explain why that's news.
Is it found? Do I have to wait all the way till the end of the show to find out if
it's
found?
That's one of the first things. Well, I don't know if it's found or not, but let's
no.
get into it.
Why are we sitting here? Let's go look.
Well, it's in New Jersey, so it would be kind of hard to go look.
All right.
All right. Hi, Jason.
Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
You're running a little late today?
I'm on the vacation time right now.
Is that because you can't put a blank people? Are you on weed people time? Is that what this is?
I'm on Jason doesn't have any worries this week because he doesn't start his new job until next Tuesday. Time, that's...
Oh, so next week when we record, you'll be fresh off your first day at work.
Yeah, I know. And I'm not like a manager anymore, so I don't have to be too responsible.
Oh, excellent. That's that's good news. So... Just explain to everybody that have double and triple checked to make sure that this week's recordings are suitable to be published to the internet.
I feel like some of my best work happened last week.
He had some good stuff, some good shares. We'll talk about Ghostbusters because that
yes.
was one thing. That, we'll do a brief thing on Ghostbusters, but first, how was your week? What you were away? I know you ended the last job.
Yeah, it was bittersweet because the employees, not my other managers, but the other employees, got me a cake and flowers and a card, and were all very sad to see me go. And I don't know, during my exit interview, my general manager and one of the other managers, Matt Mueller.
Name dropper.
Yeah, not right now I can talk about them.
Does Matt listen to the show? You mentioned last week that some of your coworkers listen. Is he one of them?
No, at Mueller, not Matt. There's no Matt.
At Mueller.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, yeah, I'm not going to name specific people.
Oh, I thought you said Matt Mueller. I'm like, oh, hello, Matt.
But the comment came up about, like, yeah, wow, in the last 2 weeks, it really seems like you've been doing really great. Like, it's like, what happened? And I felt like saying... I knew exactly what needed to get done before I left, and that's...
I could see the light at the end of the tunnel.
I didn't tell him I could see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it was like, I don't have to worry about stuff anymore, and it's that's why. I've been able to not worry about worrying, you know?
Well, that's always good. Kareem, how are you? You feeling better? You were a little under the weather last week?
Yeah, I had a migraine. Actually, I had some stomach issues on Monday. And then Tuesday, I had woke up with a migraine and just dealing with that all day Tuesday. And then I spent the weekend babysitting my grandson.
There you go. That's right. Grandpa Kareem.
Yes.
How was that?
That was child
abuse?
No.
Neglect?
It was birth control.
It's too late. If you're already a grandfather, it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
I am Tony. What is it? Tony Randall?
Tony Robbins. Becca, welcome back. How are you been?
Oh, I'm good. You know, I work at a church now, so I work on Sundays, and then Mondays and Tuesdays are my weekends. This is my weekend right now, you guys.
Wrapping your weekend with us.
Yeah, yeah. And today I had a gift certificate for a massage at Mellow Me Out, and the certificate was for this thing called the Cougar Package.
Nice.
I know. And I was like, is there going to be like a 20-year-old dude massage therapist? Or like, what is the Cougar Package exactly? But it was like a foot soak and a massage. It wasn't. I don't know.
So it was a big fat lie is what it was.
Well, it was wonderful. You know, I enjoyed it, but I'm not really sure why the Cougar. But yeah, I had that today. So, you know, things are going well.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm kind of drawing a blank on my week. I mean, I did go see another movie. Went to the Ab Fab movie with Leslie. Anyone familiar with the Ab Fab?
Yeah, I remember that show from back in the day.
It was on Comedy Central like in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah,
and they were not young then. They are very old now.
Why did the movie come out now? I guess, like, why now?
Well, because one of the old ladies who was in AbFab wrote a movie, and they finally got the financing to make the movie. And so the thing was that was weird is we went... I thought it was going to be a little wider release than it was, because I guess I overestimated its popularity. So around here, it was playing at one place in Roseville, like a regular theater. It was playing at the Tower in Sacramento and the University Theater in Davis. So... not the traditional big movie houses.
Yeah.
But it was in the big room at the Tower, in the big main theater. And I have to confess, I fell asleep in the middle. Because they have new chairs in the theater there. They're quite comfortable.
They do. Yeah.
They're quite comfortable. I will not spoil the movie for any... I don't imagine there's a lot of people who listen to this show who are like, I'm going to go see the Ab Fab movie. Don't spoil it. It's like a big extended version of the show.
Yeah, which, oh man, I tried watching it when I was young. Because, like, when I was in college, like, Comedy Central was on 24/7.
Yep.
So that show was on all the time. And I remember when the last one came on and, like, they kind of went to rehab or something. Like, somebody went to rehab. Isn't that what happened, like, in the last episode?
I couldn't tell
you. Something happened like that. It was a big deal. But, I was never a huge fan. So when I heard that the movie, I was like, what?
Yep, it's a movie. Leslie wanted to go, and I'm like, all right. Whatever. Not a big deal. But there were a lot of women there in the audience who were jazzed for this. Like, they were cheering and clapping in parts of the movie where none was justified.
Oh, I can imagine.
How did Leslie like the film?
She thought it was okay.
Okay.
She thought it was okay. She gave it a C+.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, that's...
So roughly about as good as Ghostbusters on a much tighter budget. I did not fall asleep during Ghostbusters, but that was probably because of the 3D glasses.
Yeah.
Real quick, did either of you see Ghostbusters?
Haven't seen it yet, but okay. I intend to.
You intend to. You're never seeing it, Kareem. I remember that conversation. Briefly, Jason and I saw it. He saw it in 2D. I saw it 3D IMAX. So I saw it in the ultimate Ghostbusters experience ever.
And I saw it like a Saturday matinee.
Mm-hmm. I also saw a Saturday matinee. Yeah. It was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. It was okay. It was just a bowl of okay. And what, like the show that you'll never hear that we talked about. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you thought of the movie?
Oh well, yeah, I enjoyed it. Like, here's the thing: is like one of the things that. I've had to grow accustomed to in life just in general is adapt and change and move forward. You can say that. I mean, like, that's honestly, like, that's really what I've found more than anything else. People who adapt and change and things that do that survive. And I just see Ghostbusters, the new one, as adapting, changing for the times, for the kids, carrying on something that was means a lot. I think that for the intended target audience, which I believe you'd have to say are 12 to 38-year-old women, they're probably all women, but I mean, like, that's like what the place is that it's going for, that it's a classic, that it's going to be one of those movies that are shown to little girls and to daughters on a regular basis. So, I don't know.
We got to stop the madness.
I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed it. I liked it.
A classic?
I think it will be a classic. Here's the thing is, like, you look at Ghostbusters now, you watch it again. I've watched it so many times. Mm-hmm. And you watch it and it's like, all right, it's a good movie for the time. It was all right. It was good. And I have a nostalgia for it. You know, because of when I saw it in my life. So it's always going to have a special place. And it's held up way better than a lot of other childhood movies. Mm-hmm. And I could see this being the same type of film for a 12, 15, 16-year-old girl that sees this. Because it could be the right time in her life. So, because I enjoyed it.
That sounded creepy.
Well,
no, I know what you mean, though.
12, 13, 14-year-old girl. Yeah, for a time in her life.
I think that it would be. It's going to make somebody. I mean, you had very valid points about the characters and how deeply they went into the characters and the background stories. But if you remember in Ghostbusters 2, it was maybe 20, 25 minutes at the beginning.
No, don't compare Ghostbusters 2. My big complaint was not with the women or the fact that there are women as Ghostbusters. My big complaint was the writing was not very good. And there was no backstory about the four main characters. There was just the slightest bit about how Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig were connected, but not about how they separated. And then about how they come back together as part of the movie. Leslie Jones, that character happened during the movie, which is fine. But the most interesting character was the one that was played by Kate McKinnon. Completely one-dimensional character. She did a great job, but one-dimensional character, and there was absolutely no backstory. Where did she come from? Why is she like this? Why is she weird? Why is she so into science? How did you learn how to build all this stuff? How did you get hooked up with a Melissa McCarthy character? None of that. And there were a lot of places where the scenes were just a little long. Hemsworth. Liam Hemsworth?
Thor? Chris.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth. The secretary. So Annie Potts in the original Ghostbusters was kind of the ditzy secretary. They made this guy so dumb that he didn't understand how to answer the phone. So not like dumb man. You could have made him a dumb equivalent dude. They just went to crazy town.
That's what they seem to do with all of these remakes that they made of either movies or shows from before.
Yeah.
It's like they don't treat them like... almost slapstick.
He was completely slapstick, and he had fun with it. I thought he did a good job with it. But again, one-dimensional character. And now that you've established that character at that level, how is that character ever going to... He's too dumb to answer a phone. How is he going to grow?
There's something else that because I've been doing a lot of reading, especially since our last show about it. And I guess Paul had deleted a scene that was a dancing scene. Mm-hmm. You can kind of see it in the credits a little bit, mm-hmm. But where Chris Hemsworth is kind of controlling everybody and he makes them do the pose.
Slight spoiler alert. That's when he was possessed.
Yeah. So when that happens, like, but I guess there's like a huge like dance number that actually happened there, like a whole dance number, like for 3 minutes, like 4 minutes that cost like $1 million.
Thank God they cut that.
I was gonna say like if that now I will say that if that was in there and that had happened in the movie, then my opinion on the movie would have probably been completely different because. The fact that something like that did not occur, like, keeps it on the winning side in my mind. But if that had been in there...
It, like I said last week in the show that you'll never hear, it could have been a really, really good movie.
Yeah.
And they just... The director and writers missed a great opportunity. So, that was it. It was a C-plus movie. C-plus movie.
B-plus movie.
Yeah. Go in, turn your brain off, and just enjoy it. And then don't think about it again. Because then you'll start to see all the plot holes and problems.
Yeah.
That was where I had the problem, is I started thinking about the movie, and I'm like, huh, well, that didn't make sense. Wouldn't have been nice to know more about that. And then I got angry.
I can say that I'd much rather my brother and sister watch this movie as opposed to Madballs, which was a cartoon that they watched over and over and over and over and over again. Mm. Would have much rather this than that. You know what I mean? Because it's okay.
All right, speaking of over, Pokemon Go is now over.
Not in my house.
Oh, it is, because someone in New York has caught all 142 available Pokemon.
Ted's only got 74.
Well, he can stop now. It's over. Someone has won. They claim to have captured all 142 of the digital monsters. Brooklyn-based Pokemon master Nick Johnson shared a screenshot of the game on Reddit showing he's captured 142 Pokemon, which is the maximum number believed to be available in the U.S. There are only 151 total from the first generations of the gaming franchise, but three of the Pokemon are believed to be region-specific, and the other six are currently a mystery. He is the head of platform for startup Applico, and he spent eight hours a night walking the streets of Brooklyn and Manhattan to bolster the collection in his augmented reality game. He said the most difficult Pokemon to catch was Porygon, which required a trip to Jersey City. So
I don't believe him.
That he went to Jersey City?
No, they released all the Pokemon, so you could catch all the Pokemon. It's like McDonald's with the,
the Monopoly
game? The Monopoly game.
Could be. Well, I hope they have, because it's starting to affect national security, like at this State Department briefing.
Bless you. As the Secretary said earlier today, though, and I think it's an important reminder, you're playing the Pokemon thing right there, aren't you? It's an important reminder. We know this won't be easy. We recognize it's a challenge.
He's playing Pokemon in the front of the State Department briefing, and he got busted.
Dumbass.
By John Kirby. It's good to know the U.S. Department of State spokesperson can recognize someone playing Pokemon Go.
Wow.
It's come to that.
Yeah. It is funny to see people out.
Like, oh, they're
walking
they're,
like zombies.
They're out in mass having a good time. I've played the Pokemon. I don't play it much. It's usually like 10 minutes at a time, and then I'm like, all right, that's enough. Yeah. But yeah, there have been people, businesses are seeing a boom from it. There are places where, oh, don't go there at night. Well, literally hundreds of people are going there at night, and no one's been killed.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's safe to go everywhere now.
I'll go ahead. We're going to say.
I was just going to say that Ted has like this Pokemon radar thing on his computer, you know, so he can see our neighborhood. And like multiple times so far, like we've been like in full on sweats, pajama mode, you know, late night. And he'll be like, I'll be right back. And he just puts on his shoes and like hustles outside and captures something. So like, I don't know. It's in full effect in our house.
I've heard stories of that. Sam's twin brother, Joe, this morning told me that he fell asleep on his couch, and he lives in Dixon, and his wife woke him up, said, hey, come on to bed. And he stands up, and before he goes to bed, he checks Pokemon Go, see if there's any Pokemon in the area. And he spotted one near the Safeway, which is pretty close to where they live. So he got dressed. He's like, hey, do you want me to bring your phone? To his wife. And she's like, what? What are you talking about? He goes, I'm going to get a Pokemon. So he took her phone too. Goes out. He got the Pokemon. Unfortunately, she didn't have enough Pokeballs to capture that Pokemon. So he came out with just one for him.
Oh, nah, that went over.
I've been scared to actually fight at a gym yet. I haven't gotten.
Oh, dude, I did that once.
I haven't trained. Like, I need to go to the gym. I know I need to, because like, I have. But, like, I see, like, these guys that have, like, 1,100, you know, CP combat points. And, like, my guy has, like, 400. And I'm like, I can't fight against this guy.
Yeah, you need to double your combat points before you go to the gym.
I know. But it's like, how do you do it? Like,
it's frightening, Kareem, that I know that.
Yeah. I was like, Becca, did you realize they weren't really talking about the gym?
Yeah, we were walking. We did a little poke walk. Well, it was, like, a dinner date slash Pokewalk on Friday night in Fair Oaks Village, and we got to a park where there was a gym, and there was on the picnic tables like various teenage guys just kind of sitting, kind of lurking, and I think they just kind of hang out all day and they're like ready, you know. And then other people were walking up shaking their hands and stuff was going on, but we were too nervous to like really get in on it.
Now, do you play Pokemon Go or do you just watch Ted play?
No, my cell phone is a tin can on a string.
Okay.
So I do not play Pokemon Go, but Ted and I go for walks and, you know, he's a good multitasker. So we talk, we get coffee, we do stuff, and he also catches Pokemon at the same time.
Hilarious.
I need you to talk to my wife. You have a much more accepting attitude towards it.
Listen, the fact that she lets you do it, just count yourself lucky.
No, the thing is, though, when we walk, like, I try to tell her, like, I'll walk now. But, like, the whole thing is, like, let's go for a walk. But, like, then I'm like, oh, yeah, I can play some Pokemon. She's like, no. And then I'm like, well, then I don't want to go on the walk.
Oh.
You know, so.
I love Pokemon.
It's a good thing she's already pregnant because she probably wouldn't be getting pregnant after this.
No.
Like, as a couple, it's so much better than the video games where it's, like, you know, your partner's just like holed up all day with the door closed, like doing some RPG. Like, I love Pokemon Go. It's like, oh yeah, let's walk to Starbucks and sure you can play, you know. I don't know. I think it's way better for relationships personally.
Like I said, I know couples who have Pokemon dates. They just go out and walk around and catch Pokemon together.
Mm. Yeah. You know, your wife's not at that point. She's like, if we go on a walk, I want you to want to go on a walk with me. And not have any distractions.
No, you don't realize she plays now too.
Oh,
There you go.
Still doesn't. She still wants you to want to go on a walk with her without any distractions.
Meantime, in Clinton, New Jersey, Crime Stoppers are seeking the return of a giant inflatable duck, which went missing from a local pond. The town of Clinton shared a photo of a poster of the 5'4" tall duck, which was last seen. Not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, during the town's annual rubber duck race. To the person or persons who are responsible, it might be best to get Ducky back to where he belongs, they wrote. There is a $250 reward for the duck's return. So if you're in New Jersey and you know where the inflatable duck is, call Crime Stoppers.
How are you going to hide that? Like, you know some teenagers stole it, but how are they going to keep it hidden?
You know they're going to put it on Facebook or Instagram and get caught.
Or you could just deflate it. Meanwhile, in Massachusetts, a tall Massachusetts man is accused of standing through the sunroof while driving. It's called TPP, Tall People Problems. In the town of Hingham, police say a tall man was pulled over after driving while standing up with his upper body sticking out from his sunroof. That's a Flintstones move. They shared a photo of officers handcuffing the 6'7" tall man who was seen standing through his sunroof while driving. Motorists followed a car with a driver who's standing through sunroof and driving today, they wrote. The 6'7" driver also had a suspended driver's license. That was all the information that they released about that. So, you know, TPP. It's a real issue.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, New York, Jason.
Ah, New York's cool, without a doubt.
Kareem.
Cool.
Becca.
Cool.
Nope. Tool.
Wait, what?
Look, it may be the city that never sleeps, but that doesn't mean you have to go around hunting Pokemon 8 hours a night. I'm next in Cooler Tool, New Jersey. Kareem.
Tool.
Becca.
Cool, I guess.
Jason.
Oh, you know, the thing is Jersey gets a bad rap. You know, I mean, like, it's not as bad as everybody says. So I'm going to say it's cool.
New Jersey is cool. Bruce Springsteen, The Sopranos, Kevin Smith, The Gaslight Anthem.
Jon Stewart.
Bon Jovi.
John's a Bon Jovi. There you go. Cool. And finally in Cooler Tool, Massachusetts, Becca.
Cool.
Jason.
Cool.
Kareem?
Tool.
You are correct, Kareem. Massachusetts is Tool. It's full of a bunch of funny talking jerks. Most of them are giving white people a bad name. So
exactly.
Know that, Jason.
All right.
And that's going to do it for Cool or Tool. Hey, don't be a tool. Do your Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It helps support the show, and we do appreciate it. Oh, yeah, it doesn't cost you anything extra either.
Nothing extra.
So go ahead and do that. Be cool.
Why haven't you already done it?
Maybe they are.
Thank you.
Do it more. Meanwhile, in Manchester, England, an elderly British woman was able to defend herself from an attempted robbery using a package of bacon.
Hot dog.
Was the robber a vegan?
Nope, bacon. The Greater Manchester Police, Trafford South, reported the 86-year-old woman was approached by an unidentified female in a grocery store after withdrawing a large sum of money from an ATM. Whilst shopping, the lady was challenged by an unknown female who grabbed her trolley and demanded the money she'd withdrawn. The elderly woman looked to her surroundings for defense by using a packet of bacon to fend off the would-be robber. The 86-year-old lady then defended herself by repeatedly hitting the female offender over the head with a packet of bacon. The offender then retreated and made off from the supermarket. Police say that they told the BBC that the woman was safe and well, but ultimately felt shook up about the incident.
Undoubtedly.
So, bacon wins again.
Exactly.
Bacon is awesome. Lamar Odom, not so much. I feel bad, because you want to root for Lamar Odom, but at this point, I'm out on Lamar Odom, because he got his second chance. He was back up and whoring again, like we were hoping for when he had his episode. But, yeah, he keeps going in a bad direction. His family feels the same way. According to Extra, they attempted to stage an intervention, and it didn't go well. They, including his ex-wife, his aunt, and his children, attempted to get him to clean up an intervention in New York. The former Lakers star was surprised by the meeting. That's what an intervention is. This is after he was reportedly drunk and threw up on a Delta Airlines flight on July 11th. Since then, reports have popped up of him drinking in various locations. This follows the near-fatal overdose at the Vegas area brothel last October. Lamar Odom's only 36, and he was apparently doing very well earlier this year after going through rehab and keeping up a recovery program, but he seems to have fallen off the wagon sometime in the spring. So, tough news. I mean, I want him to be better because in all accounts, he's a good dude, and he's got kids, and he's got family, and it's just really sad. He was a role model to a lot of people, too. And,
There's one of the reports I was reading was one of his friends is one of those bad influences.
One of your friends is always a bad influence.
Yeah. So at this point, he doesn't have, that guy's really not his friend.
Well, and his best friend passed away like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And it's just a sad situation.
You know, it's tough, you know, I mean, sometimes, like, there's this spiral of shame that you go into, and you go down into this hole when you're an addict, and, you know, you just go down this hole, and the worse off and the more people you're, I mean, like, at this point, like, it would be so tough for him to come back, you know, and it's going to, and there's always that chance, and it's crazy because everything that we've seen that's happened to him, we would think that he's hit his rock bottom. But none of us know where that elevator is going to be that he's going to get off on eventually, because it could happen still, or it might not. And tragically, that's why addiction is such a horrible mental health problem and issue in the first place, that is not understood well enough by so many people. And it's just thought of as, not enough willpower or strength because, right. You know, people don't choose to make this happen. He's making choices, but there's an addiction there that's eating away at it.
Well,
so.
Here's the other question I have. He had the near-death experience. They thought he was going to die. He comes back. He's an athlete. And then he's like, well, I'm okay now. I can have a drink. Is there a chance he just legitimately thinks he doesn't have a problem?
No, I mean, I can't speak for him, but I'm sure that at this point, as many times he's gone through treatment and stuff like that, that he knows that once you have that drink, it's because you can always think, I mean, I could go out and have a beer right now, and I could go have a beer right now, and I'd be okay, you know, but what happens the next time that I have just a beer and it turns into two, it's a slippery slope that eventually, because it's not going to, so he has to know, and if he doesn't, then he's that far into the denial of it existing in the first place. So, you know, the mental gymnastics that you do when you get into a place like that, you go through so many of them just to justify what's going on.
Yeah, and I mean, you can speak to that way more than anybody else in the room in terms of how do you deal with that sort of thing. Because for a lot of people, it's like, what's the big deal?
Yeah. No, it is. And, you know, he'll have that. It'll happen when it has to happen for him. And if it doesn't, unfortunately, it'll take his life and it'll be sad. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he has to want it for himself in a sense also. And it's hard work. Mm-hmm. It's not easy every day. Shit, man, I want a beer almost every day. You know what I'm saying?
No, I can completely understand that, Jason. That's really good. No, I'm terrible. So yeah, here's hoping he realizes and can make the change to get better, and to all the people out there who are struggling with it, that they can do that. So anyway, now that we've brought it down, let's bring it back up.
The Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
Now, this is only Small Town News because it's what you would expect to happen in a small town in a movie from the 70s or 80s, except it actually happened.
Oh, I can't wait.
In an incredibly small town in Vermont. Headline: Lowell man charged with assault after hitting man in the head with a pool stick.
Oh, I can't wait to hear why.
A 27-year-old man from Lowell is facing aggravated assault charges. I don't know what happened. I think I had a little episode right there. after police say he hit someone in the head with a pool stick. Police say Matthew Peon, who's 27, was arrested early on a Sunday morning after the assault. The incident took place around 2 a.m. at the Snowshoe Tavern in Montgomery. Police say they received a call notifying them that an assault had taken place at the bar. The victim, Zachary Tart, who's 21, he lives in Enosburg, by the way, he told police that Peon struck him in the head with a pool stick. He sustained injuries but was later released from the Northwestern Medical Center. State police later located Peon in Lowell, where he was taken into custody and released on a citation to appear in Franklin County Court on August 1st to answer the charge of aggravated assault. There you go.
Nothing good happens at the tavern after 2 a.m.
Nothing good happens at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Just go home.
Pool stick over
man.
There.
Man, that takes a lot of force.
Yeah.
That's a lot of force.
I mean, even one of those cheap pool sticks that's in the house all the time, that's one piece and it's curved.
Yeah.
You know
still,
those? So.
Like, to break it over somebody's head, that's hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, he made him mad, I guess.
I guess so.
And I guess we'll find out on August 1st. I'll keep my eye out for more news. I just saw that. I thought, Roadhouse.
Yeah. It's like, what was going on here? Was he fighting for some woman's honor?
And by the way, for people who aren't from Vermont, never been to Vermont, that you hear the name the Snowshoe Tavern. And what sort of images does it conjure up in your head?
Like almost like a little chalet, you know, there's like pine trees outside. And obviously it's the summer, so it's not snowy, but, you know, cute and cozy.
I guarantee it looks like a crappy prefab house on the side of the road.
With like no windows?
No, it'll have a couple of windows, but they'll be boarded over on the inside, of course. The Snowshoe Tavern.
Oh, man.
Not so. Double Deuce.
Nope. So that's going to do it for Small Town News for this week. And that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. Pick some music to go out on that, you know, I thought it was appropriate considering, you know, the tall man story and the...
Yeah.
And the pool stick and the bar fight. This is Tall Boy by CJ Solar. It's about tall boys. Everybody have a great Wednesday and Thursday. We'll see you on Friday with a fresh new episode of The Nate Darling Show. Enjoy! Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.